Each of us has different consciousness. Individuality is symptomized by consciousness. Everyone is an individual, and everyone has a different consciousness. Therefore, in every situation, everyone's observation of the situation will be slightly different. There are so many common things we can understand about consciousness, but individuality never goes away. This is the problem for the impersonalist, because individuality never goes away. Krishna's first instruction to Arjuna is that we are eternally individuals. In the material world, we are taking on countless different identities. Just to contemplate how long we've been in the material world is actually inconceivable. Prabhupada uses the term since time immemorial. We have been in this material world since time immemorial. And that means unlimited identities, changing identity, but always an individual, always an individual. But we forget and we are separated from all those other identities. Sometimes, Prabhupada explains, sometimes you may have some recollection of a previous life. Or sometimes you may have some skill that is clearly from a previous life. I read a story once about a man who was his little boy, not much older than... How old are you?
Five.
Yeah, not much older than this little boy, probably younger. And suddenly he just sat down one day and started playing the piano. Honky-tonk music. And now this leads people into all kinds of wondering, well, did I live before? Yes, well, we all understand that principle. We're all very fortunate in that we have this simple piece of knowledge. Prabhupada explains it as simple truth. This simple truth that we are all eternal living beings and we are all eternal individuals. But we don't remember all the identities that we've had in the material world. But even more than that, we don't even know who we are in eternity. In order to come to the material world in the first place, one has to accept forgetfulness. One has to accept forgetfulness of everything about oneself as one actually is. We are all actually eternal associates of Krishna. But we have to forget that in order to come to the material world. We have to forget Krishna, we have to forget ourselves, and we have to forget our relationship with Krishna. Because we come to the material world in order to be Krishna. We want to be Krishna. The situation arises somehow. Even just, I wonder what it would be like. I wonder what it would be like to be him. And we're doing that all the time in the material world. You see, they have what they call the wannabes. I wonder what it'd be like to be, and then away you go. Away you go. The difficulty is, we come under the influence of the deluding potency of the Lord. Deluded. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani savasaha. Ahankara vimudhatma katahamiti manyate. Under the influence of the false ego, the bewildered living entity, then under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of all kinds of activities. But these things are actually being carried out by nature. So we lose our identity. We maintain our individuality, but we lose our identity. But this doesn't happen to Krishna. Our identity has been falsely manifested. But Krishna's identity never changes. Krishna never forgets himself. And Krishna manifests himself in unlimited forms. We've manifested ourselves in unlimited forms. But we can't remember any of them. And all of them have nothing to do with us. It's all a fantasy. It's all really like a child's game. You see children play. Let's pretend to be. And then away the game goes. Just like we witness this with Sitaram's children all the time, especially Sitarani. You have to ask her every day, who are you today? She says, I'm Krishna. I'm Hanuman. I'm just myself today. We take things on and we have to give them up. We have to give them up within a situation of great misery. Material world, dukkalayam ashashvatam, is a temporary place full of miseries. One after the other, one after the other, one after the other. And eventually, time after time, you just have to abandon the situation and move on. And we forget. We forget and we forget and we forget. But Krishna never forgets who he is, never loses his identity, although he expands himself unlimitedly in unlimited forms. Although we see so many different forms of the Lord, this is one of the particular teaching points of the Dasavatar that we see here. So many, 10 forms of the Lord, all completely different, all engaging in completely different activities. One person. Sometimes we see how it's a comedy. It's a principle of comedy in theater sometimes that a person tries to present himself as two different people in different situations. And the comedy arises because he starts, and the people in one situation don't know who he is in the other situation. But the two situations begin to clash and he has to suddenly be two people in one situation and he can't do it. Krishna is unlimited identities in unlimited situations simultaneously. Krishna is inconceivable in this regard. It's not that he dresses up as Vamana and then he's got another gig somewhere where he has to dress up as Parasaram and he's got to get the makeup off and change the costume before he gets across there and he has to appear as Parasaram and there has to be no vestige of of the previous act. He's simultaneously all of these things. Eternally. Never was there a time when these forms did not exist. Never was there a time when they will cease to exist. So we come back to our individuality in relationship to coming to Krishna consciousness. And the example is used here of how people may see the sun in different ways. Krishna is very attractive. Krishna is all attractive. He's all attractive in all his forms. He's attractive in all his forms. And we see there are devotees of all of the incarnations of the Lord. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya explains that Goloka Vrindavan is actually greater than all of the Vaikuntha planets put together. One wonders, well, we have a very limited conception of things, very, very limited conception of things. And we wonder, well, how does everybody get in there? If we're all originally with Krishna, oh, can't be, that can't be, how could everybody get into Goloka Vrindavan? Now, this is a symptom of our limited ability to understand things. This is an indication of how we must accept inconceivability if we are to approach Krishna. Goloka Vrindavan is greater than everything else put together. So how do we get to Goloka Vrindavan? How do we get there? By becoming Krishna conscious, not Narayan conscious, not Upendra conscious. Or we may be conscious of these things, but we don't become conscious of these things in isolation of the understanding that this is Krishna. Just wonder. There's a common argument that goes on that if we were all once with Krishna and everything was perfect there, and everything was wonderful, and our relationship was complete and perfect, then why did we leave? It's not possible. You'd be a fool to do that. Well, hello. This is the first principle of humility. Yes, I'm a fool. Why am I a fool? Because I turned my back on my relationship with Krishna. I walked away. There's a lecture Prabhupada gave, I think in Tokyo, I can't remember when. Second canto, I get this confused, it's either ninth canto, second canto, ninth chapter, first verse, or first chapter, ninth verse. So check it out. And he's talking about the concept of falling down. And there's this argument that's been around for a long time that we haven't fallen from Goloka Vrindavan. That's not possible. Therefore, it's a quick hop, step, and a jump to say that we have never had a relationship with Krishna. Can somebody get me Bhagavad Gita? But Srila Prabhupada, he says, no, not fallen. Not fallen. Not fallen. We come in contact with the deluding energy. And then we fall down into the material pool. Thank you. We fall in the material world. We don't fall into the material world. The material world is a place we enter by choice. I wonder. That's the beginning. I wonder what it would be like. And consciousness is such that it is quantum. I wonder what it would be like. Then you're there. Yeah, you're there. And we cannot be in two places at once. If we're in the material world, we're not in the spiritual world. And then when we're in the material world, then praktati kriyamana I guna I kamani savasya ahankara vimudatma. Mudha means fool. Vimudha means the most foolish. We become the most foolish. And we come up with all kinds of concocted crazy philosophies to justify how wonderful we are. How, no fault on my part. I'm cool. But if we look at the beginning of Prabhupada's teachings, in the verse 2:16, Nashato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sata, ubayorapi drishtontas, twanayas tattvadashibi. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance. And of the eternal, the soul, there is no cessation, no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Now in the second paragraph of this purport, Srila Prabhupada makes some very profound statements. He says, this is the beginning of the instruction by the Lord to the living beings who are bewildered by the influence of ignorance. Bewildered by the influence of ignorance. Now listen to this. The removal of ignorance involves the re-establishment of the eternal relationship between the worshipper and the worshipable, and the consequent understanding of the difference between the part and parcel living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Removal of ignorance involves the re-establishment of the eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can you re-establish something that doesn't exist? How can you remember something that you, how can you remember something that you have forgotten that you don't know? If you don't know something, you can't forget it. How can you go back to somewhere you have never been? Srila Prabhupada said one time to Tribhuvanath Prabhu, this Krishna consciousness is so simple, you can miss it. Why? Well, Prabhupada goes on to explain that also later in the second chapter. When Krishna starts using the word sthitadi, because Arjuna asks Krishna, how can you tell when somebody is in transcendental consciousness? How can you tell this? He asks the basic questions. He says, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak? How does he walk? What is his language? How does he sit? How does he walk? And then Krishna goes on to give a very detailed answer to this question. But in the verse, let me just check it. I can't remember it. Stita di, where is that verse? Who knows these verses well? Govinda? 65, is it? 55. I know that. I'm looking for the one where he talks about the Muni. Excuse me. Ah, yes, 56. Dukeshvanu dvignamana sukeshu vigataspriya vitaraga vayakroda stita di muni uchate. One who is not disturbed in mind even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. The word Muni means one who can agitate, listen to this, who can agitate his mind in various ways for mental speculation without coming to a factual conclusion. It is said that every Muni has a different angle of vision. Why? Because everyone is an individual. And unless a Muni differs from another Muni, he cannot be called a Muni in the strict sense of the word. But a Stita Dir Muni, as mentioned herein by the Lord, is different from an ordinary Muni. The Stita Dir Muni is always in Krishna consciousness, for he has exhausted all his business of creative speculation. One has to come to the situation that Arjuna is in and make the decision that Arjuna makes. I don't know. Not only do I not know, I need you to tell me. He surrenders to Krishna, and then he hears from Krishna. And over and over and over and over again, Srila Prabhupada stresses this point, that it is simply by hearing about Krishna, from Krishna, and from Krishna's devotees. It is simply by this hearing process that everything will come clear in due course of time. And then, just like in this verse 256, Krishna uses the words vitaraga baya krodha. Then he picks up that point in the fourth chapter. When in verse 10, he says, vitaraga baya krodha manmaya marupashita bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavam agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. Now in this purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about three phases of attachment to the material world. The first phase is neglect of spiritual life. We become materialists. We become enjoyers of, or so-called enjoyers of material facilities, enjoyers of our senses. Then, fear. Fear of spiritual identity. This is a very important point to understand if we want to really become Krishna conscious. Krishna is our dearmost friend. We all have an eternal relationship with Krishna. No problem, we can all fit into Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna's neutral. As we understand from Lord Chaitanya later on in his instructions to Sanatana Goswami, he gives 61 meanings for the words of the Atmarama verse. But the essential point is that Krishna is neutral in the sense that whatever you want, he will reciprocate with. He doesn't need anything. And whatever you want, he will give you. Our difficulty is we've actually forgotten what it is we want. We've forgotten that what we actually want is him. And Krishna's very tricky too, because he knows what you want. He knows what you want, what you really want. You may fudge it and pretend that you want so many things, what we call ulterior motives. One cannot have an ulterior motive when one approaches Krishna, because Krishna knows what you want. Our difficulty in our forgetfulness is that we have forgotten. And in forgetfulness, we become fearful. Fearful. So we have to overcome the fear of being who we are. We have to overcome the fear of accepting, yes, I am spiritual being. I am eternal. I am part and parcel of Krishna. I am actually an eternal associate of God. Me. Who, me? Who, me? Somebody can see me down here in the crowd? Well, yes. And who is it who sees you? Krishna. And Krishna loves you. This attaining love for Krishna, it's not just a one-way affair. Love, unrequited love, that's called obsession. It's like people become, just again, in this crazy material world, we become fixated on something we can't have, or some person we can't have a relationship with. So what do? We stalk them. We stalk them. This is obsession. Jai, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gonitai Ki Jai. But Krishna's not unattainable. Anyway, you can't stalk him. Krishna's not unattainable. Krishna's open. Krishna's open to a loving relationship with everyone. And then you think, well, how can somebody do that? How can it be? I can't. I mean, how many people can I have a relationship with? How's it possible? Can't be possible. Therefore, Krishna doesn't know me. This is not true. This is just not true. Krishna knows everyone. And he knows everyone as they are, as you are. Krishna doesn't take into account your material condition. Krishna knows that's not you. And if we turn this situation around and look at it from Krishna's point of view, we read in two places in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gokumar gets to Vaikuntha and he meets Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, he meets Narayan. The Lord speaks to him and he says, "You don't know how many lifetimes I've been waiting for you." He said, hope had me dancing like a fool. I was thinking, maybe this lifetime, maybe this lifetime, maybe this lifetime. And then when Gopa Kumar eventually returns to Goloka Vrindavan, he arrives at dusk, just as everybody's making preparations for Krishna's return to the village. And then all of a sudden, in the distance, people start to hear conch shells and horns being blown. And everybody runs out of the village, runs out to meet Krishna, and runs along with them. And in the distance, they see a cloud of dust. And gradually they begin to see forms appearing in that. The cowherd boys and the calves, they begin to see the vague forms in the dust. And then eventually Krishna emerges. And you just imagine, everybody from the village is there. And he sees Gopkumar and he runs to him and he embraces him. And he's so overwhelmed with ecstasy that the return of his old friend, he faints. He faints. And everybody's, what's going on? But then Krishna comes back to external consciousness and he introduces everybody here. My old friend has returned. And he says to Gopkumar, he says, you don't know how many times I've looked down that path and wondered when you will come. This is God. This is Krishna. So it's not a one-way street. Krishna loves everyone. And it is simply up to us. What do you want? What do you want? There's room for everyone in Goloka Vrindavan. That's where we all come from. And that's where, by inconceivable mercy of the Lord and his pure devotee, that's where the path of our life can lead us back to, if we choose to take the trip. There's a lot of talk about the Bhakti Lata Beej, of how at the time of initiation some mystic seed, by some invisible process, some mystic seed is planted in the heart by the spiritual master. But actually, if you read the purports of the verses leading from Bhakti Lata Beej through to how one should tend the seed of devotion and how one should protect the creeper of devotion, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada makes it very, very clear that this Bhakti Lata Beej, this is the methodology, the rules, the regulations, the instructions that come from the spiritual master. Becoming a disciple means becoming a follower of those rules and regulations. By becoming a practitioner of the methodology that the spiritual master gives you. Human life is a life of responsibility. One must become a disciple, a disciplined person who makes choices to do this and not do this. So the choice is always with us. And Krishna is simply waiting for us to make that choice. He's giving us all the opportunities. All the opportunities. Krishna never abandoned us. That's why there is Bhagavad Gita. That's why there is Super Soul. Because Krishna never abandons anyone. Externally, we might be the most abominable person, hated by everybody. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You can still take shelter of the Lord, and the Lord will give you shelter. If you're serious, if you want it. So the responsibility lies with us, always, to take responsibility for our lives, for our choices. Because if you don't, then ultimately you will blame God for all of your suffering. Why did he put me here? If there's a God, then why am I suffering? Why am I in this terrible situation? How could God do this to me? I don't believe there's a God. A God wouldn't do that. No, God wouldn't do that. You did it. You put yourself in the situation of suffering in the material world. And until and unless one is prepared to make that decision, to understand that reality about oneself, that I'm here as a result of my own actions, then you can't change. You can't change your direction because it's always somebody else's fault. We go from taking responsibility, or irresponsibility leads to blaming. Who's to blame? One cannot play the blame game. You can't even blame yourself. You just have to take responsibility for the situation and act on it with what you've been given. We have to finish at 8:30. Does anyone have any questions?